If you'd like to be part of our discussion, Bishop Michael Cody is our guest, and we're talking about the infringement on the freedom of religion in this country. 203-758-0707. Your comment, your point of view is important. We'd like to hear from you. 203-758-0707. Take a stand in the afterglow with me tonight. If you're calling from anywhere beyond the local calling area, it is toll-free. 1-866-607-6847. Once again, that number is 1-866-607-6847. We're in the Afterglow. I'm Father John, and we're talking with Bishop Cody about the Health and Human Services mandate. Now, the general response from those in favor of the Health and Human Services mandate in this country is that it's a woman's health issue. Many are saying, well, why is the church warring against women? Why is the church conducting this war against women? What's your response, Bishop?
Well, it's really not conducting a war against women. As I say, the laws of this country have allowed our institutions, our hospitals, our schools, our Catholic Charities agencies to function without discriminating against women. Why do I say that? Because the services, the reproductive services that some would seek, are available at every corner drugstore. One need only go onto the internet and log on to Walmart to realize that those reproductive services can be purchased for $8 to $9 a month. No one is being denied anything. What is happening is that a group of people or people who have conscience issues are being forced to pay for services that can be easily bought anywhere else.
So the church is not saying that people should not buy contraception.
Of course not. We don't believe in it, but we're certainly not saying that if someone wants to walk into a Walmart, that we're going to try to impede that. No, we're simply saying we are not warring against women because there's no need to. Women have access to everything they need. We're simply saying don't force us as an institution of conscience to sell it or to pay for it.
Interesting. Well, one of the issues that's come up in discussing the contraceptive mandate and even the entire health care law is its constitutionality. Can the federal government legally require religious institutions to violate their own teachings? Can the government even require its citizens to buy health insurance? Well, we spoke to a constitutional lawyer, Vincent McCarthy, about these issues, and he says part of the law's problem is the lack of a broad religious exemption.
The exemption as it exists applies only to strictly religious organizations, not to organizations like hospitals or other organizations with religious affiliations. I mean, you literally have to be a religious order or a priest or a church to qualify for the exemption as it presently exists.
But Vincent says the problem with the Health and Human Services mandate extends beyond issues of religious freedom and exemptions and into the realm of forcing people to buy something. It's an issue, he says, Justice Antonin Scalia brought up when the Supreme Court heard arguments about the health care law.
Under the administration's interpretation of the Commerce Clause, the government can force individuals to do anything, to buy broccoli, to eat broccoli, for an example. It's just completely absurd. It places no limits on federal authority at all. And anyone that knows anything about the constitutional nature of our country, our federal government is a government of what are called enumerated powers. In other words, the federal government only has the powers given to it specifically under the Constitution. And no more.
Vincent says whether the health care mandate stands or falls may rest in the hands of Justice Anthony Kennedy. With four conservative justices and four liberal justices on the court, Kennedy is considered the swing vote on the issue.
Justice Kennedy is a conservative on some issues and a liberal on others. On this particular issue, however, people that attended the argument for the entire week stated that he seemed to be against the mandate. And if he's against the mandate, the whole statute is going to fall because you need the mandate to fund the statute. Without the mandate, there's no money to pay for everyone else to get insurance.
Now, Vincent said it seems likely that the Supreme Court will rule the entire health care law, including the contraception mandate, as unconstitutional. Do you agree with that assessment? Now, the Supreme Court isn't expected to issue their final ruling on this issue until sometime in June. Are we as Catholics supposed to wait for a ruling, or is there something that we can do to work on this issue right now? What do you think, Bishop?
Well, I think it's, even though it's going to be determined by the court, it's very important that the American people, in general, come to know the issues that are at stake here. So I think, you know, I encourage my people weekly to write their congresspeople, to keep it in the forefront. I encourage dialogue as much as possible on the parish level, in the institutions across the diocese, just to keep it in the forefront. Because, again, if this were ever allowed to take effect, then what is the next step?
Mm-hmm.
What is the next step?
Well, this is true. I mean, the next step might be that Catholic priests may be forced, especially in Connecticut, that has already legalized same-sex marriage, that Catholic priests may be forced to conduct same-sex marriages.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, some of the Catholic charities agencies, such as adoption services, have been forced out of business because in some states they were being pressured and forced to give children to same-sex couples. This is wide-ranging, but it is something that I think the American people, as in general, not only people of faith, but anyone of goodwill, should be paying great attention to, because whenever you attack the Constitution, which is being done here, you attack the very fabric of our nation.
Well, the foundation of this nation.
It's as though the Constitution somehow impedes what you're trying to do, then you should change it. Well, that's not how you deal with the Constitution.
Let's go to our phones and welcome a caller. And this is Amy from West Cornwall, is it, Amy?
Yes. Good evening, Father John. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Fine. Yes, that's correct. Thank you, Father.
Okay, Amy, if you could turn down your radio so that, because we are on a delay system, turn down your radio and listen to me over your phone, okay?
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Okay. Your comment?
Yes, Father John, thank you for receiving my call. I just wanted to put out to you, both you and the bishop, in the spirit of, quote-unquote, increasing and maintaining the dialogue in this particular issue, I was just curious to know what the church's stance on taking a look at receiving such federal funds for such programs in terms of perpetuating organizations' religious agendas, but at the same time and simultaneously rejecting those federal funds for mandating something that might be against that organization's policies and beliefs. Would that not be a conflict of interest, and would that not be a reason for that particular church organization to say, let's take a look at this, and perhaps we ought to decline the receipt of such funds based on the notion of separation of church and state? And would that organization not also want to consider taking a look at other avenues and resources for receiving those funds to continue those programs? And that is a question to you, both to you and the bishop, that I wanted to propose.
Thank you, Amy, for that question. It's a good question. Bishop?
Well, thank you for the question. I think the church would have to be prepared to forego federal or state funds if we were being asked to do something that was against our beliefs. And that is why some of our agencies could be put into peril, into danger. But certainly the stance of the church would be that we would not be able to accept funds for things that simply go against our tenets of our faith and our consciences.
Let me put it to you this way, Bishop. If the funds that come through the government, say to a Catholic hospital, those funds would be used for what purposes? Furthering the work of inculcating religious faith in people, educating people in the faith at that hospital? No, they would be used anyway for the patients that are treated at that hospital, or to buy particular equipment which would serve the needs of a vast variety of patients that come into that hospital, would they not?
Right, sure. Let me give you an example from Catholic Charities. We have a wonderful program that assists families that are in danger of losing their homes. The government helps us with that. We don't give money to people, but we help them work through a process. Now, that is something that has been extremely helpful in Eastern Connecticut. I think we're the only agency in that part of the state that does such work. Now, this is something, that a work that is done and is totally compliant with our beliefs of helping neighbor, and it fully complies. Catholic Charities might be asked to provide another service, which would be against our beliefs. In that instance, we would not be able to take funds.
So it depends upon the reason the funds are given.
Precisely.
All right. If you'd like to be part of our discussion, again, our telephone number is 203-758-0707 from the local Waterbury, New Haven calling area, or toll-free from anywhere in the state or beyond the state. If you're calling from California, listening by way of the internet, 1-866-607-6847. That's the number to call. Once again, toll-free, 1-866-607-6847. And let's go back to our phones. Welcome. Take a stand in the afterglow. This is Father John. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear my name, Father.
You're Jay, I believe,
Jay,
right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
How are you doing tonight, Jay?
Last time I looked, I was still Jay.
very
good. Thank you. And I hope you both, you and the bishop, are doing well.
Thank
I would
you.
Like to bring up a couple of points, if I may, and be as brief as I can with it, although I tend to get long-winded. The compromise by the administration, I don't think is pointed out often enough. That really isn't a compromise. People don't understand what self-insurance is, where the Catholic organizations pay for their own claims. It seems simple in the approach, but people don't really fathom that. What's further is when the administration says that the insurance company pays the claims. I mean, it's rather simple-minded, but premiums have to be paid to the insurance company in order for them to pay those claims. So in that same indirect fashion, you are paying for whatever claims are paid. So there really wasn't a compromise there. It was kind of like a, you know, what shell is the nut under with it? Just a little shell game that we're playing.
And that's a very good point that you make.
There's also the fact that as a Catholic organization, before I was self-employed and doing what I do, when I went looking for a job, there's a thing called a benefits package. That benefits package is income, vacation, benefits, 401k, the whole package. And I would measure what they would all offer to get one that fits me best for the job. So if I went for a job that didn't have the benefits that I thought I needed, I don't have to take that job. However, the Catholic organizations, when they're hiring someone, do not ask their religious beliefs in the hiring of the job. They hire the best people for the job. So it's a one-way street, and they take the best people for the job. But the people that are coming for that job can choose to decline the job based on the benefits being offered. It is not something you do not force them into. Now,
so if the benefit for you is so important, that is, the contraception benefit or the sterilization benefit is so important to you, then don't accept a job offered to you by a Catholic institution.
Or if the other parts of the job are good enough that you can pay for your own benefits in that fashion, then that's a choice you also make. I mean, I'm sure both you and the bishop would agree that in the Catholic faith, we'd all love everybody to be at church every Sunday, not lie and not bear false witness against our neighbor, but very often that doesn't happen.
And you also might add in there, we'd like them to contribute to the support of the church as well.
Did I forget that?
I think you did, Jay.
But if someone uses contraception or someone doesn't use abstinence as contraception, they're not thrown out of the church. There are some things that are between you and God. We have that within our church. We're not trying to force people to do things. Everybody has the relationship with God, which they really have to speak to themselves. We want to follow the proper ways, but in some instances we stray. And that's something the church allows. it's really difficult for me to imagine an administration that can't be that benevolent when they seem to be handling so many different things. Is it perhaps that the Catholic faith is not loud enough in the marketplace, that they're not recognized as being an organization worthy of that benevolence? It's kind of tiring always being the ones that are quietly. We agree with the doctrine of turning the other cheek, but sometimes we run out of cheeks.
Bishop, any response?
Jay, I want to thank you for you're a very clear-sighted individual. The church has always believed that she's imperfect. We're a church of saints and a church of sinners, and that's always before us. We don't expect perfection, but at the same time, as you say so well, we don't force things on others. We call them, we invite them to live a certain life because we believe that it is for the best for them and their happiness, ultimate happiness, but we don't force things on them. Now we have a mandate that would force things on people and force things on institutions of conscience. That is an approach that violates human dignity. It violates human dignity, and it violates, in this instance, again, a fundamental belief and a right to practice one's beliefs in freedom.
Jay, thank you so much for your call. Any last comment?
Just the, in that search for perfection, what a boring world if we all were perfect.
This is true.
Who could we blame for the faults?
Jay, thank you so much for your call. Take care now. If you'd like to be part of our discussion, 203-758-0707. That's 203-758-0707. If the lines are busy, be patient. Don't give up on us. Keep calling again and again. We want to talk to you. We're going to get to as many calls as we possibly can. Toll free from anywhere, 1-866-607-6847. That's 1-866. Check that again. Well, it's 1-866-607-6847. Now, in the debate over the contraception mandate, many have argued that the Catholic Church and other religious institutions are getting involved in politics when they shouldn't be. Is the Church getting involved in politics when it shouldn't be? Well, in his appearance on Face the Nation, Cardinal Dolan of the Archdiocese of New York said that the Church really didn't have much of a choice.
We didn't ask for the fight, but we're not going to back away from it. What I'd say is this. Yeah, I don't think religion should be too involved in politics, but I also don't think the government and politics should be overly involved in the church. And that's our problem here. You've got a dramatic, radical intrusion of a government bureaucracy into the internal life of the church. That bothers me. So hear me say, hey, I'd like to back away from this. I got other things to worry about and bigger fish to fry than this. Our problem is the government is intruding into the life of faith and in the church that they shouldn't be doing.
Well, the government is intruding into the life of faith and into the life of the church. And isn't that a direct violation of the First Amendment, the right of Americans to freely practice their religion? You know, we say that there's a separation between church and state. Why does that separation exist? Does it exist to protect the state from the church, or does it exist to protect the church from the state? Bishop.
The First Amendment of the Constitution would say that it is to protect the church from the state.
And we've seen instances, and we currently see instances in society where churches need protection against the state. Look what's happening in Syria now.
Absolutely.
In the Middle East. Many Christians in the Middle East fleeing their home countries, looking for a place where they can practice their religion unencumbered by state intrusion. Let's go back to our phones. Hi, Take a Stand. This is Father John. You're in the Afterglow.
I wanted to thank you for letting me speak. I really am glad that you're taking this stance. I'm from Massachusetts, and I wish that we were getting some leadership from the church in the Massachusetts area. We don't seem to be hearing much from them, but.
Well, WJMJ is right there with you because a large part of our audience is in Massachusetts, so. We're glad to be there with you and for you.
I've listened to you for a long time. You know, I really don't understand how you know, where these people are getting this separation of church and state. The Constitution does not say freedom from religion. It says freedom of religion. And I really don't understand how the legal misinterpretation has been created. But it does concern me. You know, it's hard for me to understand how these people whose basic rights have been historically developed by the Christian religion, based on the fact that we're all equal before God. All of the European and American values that have developed into the equality, you know, the equal, just equal before God, is the basis for most of the rights that we have. I really don't understand where these people are coming from.
Let's get the bishop's point of view on this.
Well, I think what's happening here fundamentally is that people are playing with the Constitution. They're trying to reinterpret the Constitution, and they have no right to do that. This is a founding document of our nation, and you simply don't change it because all of a sudden it's inconvenient. So I think that's one of the fundamental problems. I think the mandate seems to presume that it has the right to change something as fundamental as the First Amendment. They do not.
I go along with you completely. The whole idea of equal rights for all, you know, and not special rights for special groups, has touched my life specifically. I've been in a situation where I was married to a woman. She made a decision to abort a child of ours without ever even consulting me. It was a situation where I came home one day and there was a disagreement in the family, and her solution to the problem was to abort the child. And in this day and age, I was amazed that a woman without any concern, the doctors and the people involved, without any concern for family rights, a father's rights, would just automatically allow this, you know, allow one member of the family to abort the child. If a father tried to do the same thing, it would be not allowed.
Hell to pay. Bottom line, it's all a big business, a matter of money. Bruce, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Take care.